Good morning, everyone. We speak a great word of welcome to you. It is an honor that I have to be here to worship God with you. It always is to be able to worship with the Oyster Bay congregation. This has been something that I used to do back when Robert and I were teenagers. If you can believe, there was a time that we were teenagers. There was, and I was here. And it was a lot has gone on, a lot of water under the bridge since that time. But it's a great and blissful time, and I'm glad to be here year after year and enjoy being together worshiping our Lord. John, who was exiled on Patmos, said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day." I hope today we likewise are in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, that we are contemplating the many ways we are serving God through songs and prayers and the study of His will, the communion service, and given the opportunity to lay by in store as God has prospered us. That is wonderful times that we can do our part. God has done His, the Lord has done His, the Spirit has done His. Today, we ought to do ours equally as well. In Acts 20:7, the Word of God said, "And the disciples came together to break bread, and Paul preached unto them." When you begin to look at these passages that reference the Lord's Day, there are numerous ones throughout Scripture worded in a variety of ways, but every Lord's Day, we should really contemplate and do the very best we can to come to worship ready to serve the Almighty God. This morning, we will study with you a chosen lesson entitled Christian Liberties. Now, this is very, very important. We talked about relationships some. We can talk about it this morning, and Lord be willing, this afternoon, we'll talk more about it. Christian and Christian versus Christian relationship. Really, it's not verse, but Christian and Christian relationship. How we can do things together. The relationship we should have one for each other, and we should really do everything we can to make those relationships stronger. In today's lesson, Paul is going to get right down to the nitty-gritty, telling us here is how to do it. Here's what you should do, and here's what you should not do. And this afternoon, we'll dig a little deeper and go further with that same basic topic. But this morning, we're going to focus in on Christian liberties. And we hope you will enjoy this, be edified by it, and know assuredly it will be found in the Word of God. At this time, please, let us pray. The lesson this morning on Christian liberties is very, very important. It will make a better person out of each one of us that's gathered here at this time. It will help us to know when to speak up and when to shut up. It will help us to know how we should act and how we should not act, when we should make a deal out of something and when we should just back away and let it go. This is a great, great study. It was one that I thoroughly enjoyed studying for years before I ever preached a sermon on it. And then when I did preach a sermon on it, it caused me pause because it just didn't sound like what I was accustomed to. And I laid it back on the shelf and then began further to study it and talk with other preacher friends and other Bible students. And then gradually I began to preach on it and then eventually preached on it essentially everywhere I went for gospel meetings. What we have today on the board, a very key factor, we have the book, chapter, verses that apply to Christian liberties. Now that's very important. Because today, a lot of people, well, I think this and I think that. It doesn't matter what you think or what I think regarding these. What does matter is, what does the Bible say? That's what matters. Sure, it matters what a person believes, but it doesn't matter for whatever you think makes it the way it is for everybody. Book, chapter, verse is mandatory. Now, take a look here. There are five key references that will apply to Christian liberties. All of these need to be put together before anybody draw the conclusion on anything. Those passages are Romans chapter 14, 1 through 23, which is the entire chapter of Romans 14. That's where we'll spend the majority of our time this morning. Secondly, Romans the 15th chapter, 1 through 7, and this is just a continuation of what ended in chapter 14 and 23. Chapter 15, verses 1 through 7 is the continuation of thought, and then they moved on to other subject matters. And then we go to 1 Corinthians, the third passage, 1 Corinthians 8, 1 through 13, which is again the whole chapter, only 13 verses, but a lot of good meat is found in there. 1 Corinthians 9, 1 through 12, more information. And then we will conclude with thinking about 1 Corinthians 10, verses 23 and 33. In this passage, in these verses of Scripture, it will teach us the right attitude to have regarding Christian liberties. And there are the great, great verses here that will help us put the proper scope on this great subject. Now, it is crucial that this point be made and will be repeated several times throughout the lesson. And I do not mean to be repetitious, but I do mean to reinforce a very strong truth. That is, Christian liberty and these passages, when it's dealing with Christian liberty, they do not apply to worship, to doctrine, to salvation, to Christian living, and to church government. Now, I want to look at this Christian living. You say, well, if it don't apply to Christian living, how does that work? Well, here's the deal. What I reference here is Christian living is when the Bible says, do not lie one to another. Let him that stole steal no more. Those type of verses deal with your Christian life. Christian liberties does not give you the right to lie. It doesn't give you the right to steal and things of that nature. So therefore, those specific sins we talked about Friday night, those are not liberties. Those things you got to keep out of your life. Attitudes that we studied last evening regarding God's will for us, those are not liberties, that's God's will. Now, these are matters that will not apply to worship, doctrine, salvation, to specific Christian living points, and to church government. Because if somebody is not careful, and this has happened many times over, they will take these verses on how to handle your liberties and apply it to worship. And so you don't really matter how you worship. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what your plan of salvation is. And that is incorrect Bible hermeneutics. This is crucial that we understand that. So along the way, I'm going to say, remember, we don't apply these to these areas. Now, a few preliminary remarks. And the reason I like to do this, because the content is a lot and it needs to go rapid to accomplish this in one sermon. So these are very important points. This is going to talk to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Now, the Jews were people of Israel. The Gentiles were non-Jews. As a matter of fact, if you're using a modern version, some of them will say Jews and non-Jews, depending on what translation that you may have. But this is Jew and Gentile. That is people of Israel and then those who are non-Jews. Now then, the next area is law and liberty. Law is that which is legislated by God. Law applies to worship, doctrine, salvation, Christian living, church government. God has legislated what he wanted in this regard. And this is now how we can begin to get really things into focus on how to properly apply what does and what does not, is not included in Christian liberties. Law, legislated by God. Liberty, not legislated by God. God did not legislate every detail of every person's life. Now, there are those who say he does, but he doesn't. I mean, just being practical, God does not do that. There's frameworks that he gives about letting your light so shine before others, but I want everybody to fully understand when things are not legislated by God, they are falling in the hands of liberties. We're going to learn that here in a moment. But now, look at these three different contrasts. All of these are brought forth in Romans 14. So when I get to that, we can just explain the point and how it was used, and then we can better understand it. This lesson is really, to me, an encouraging message, not because I'm speaking, but because of what Romans 14 says. It helps me to be a better person because it causes me to not be so judgmental toward other people that may do something different than me. You know what? God doesn't expect us to be carbon copies of everyone. We don't have to dress the same color of clothing. We don't have to be just like everybody else. Yes, we do all worship God together in the same way, but your day-to-day living, if you want to drive a Ford and I want to drive a Honda, that's all right. That's my liberty and that's your liberty. Many other simple examples could be given. Now, here's the example Paul chose to use. He used examples that the Jews and the Gentiles could easily relate to. He drew a contrast between strong and weak. One point I want to make, lest I forget to make it later, this strong and weak comparison or contrast is strong in the point of liberties and a specific liberty. It's not strong Christian, weak Christian, like we customarily talk about it. It is strong in comparison to Christian liberties. This person is strong and this person is weak. And what, you know, really gets under the skins of people is that those who are radical, conservative, to the point of being radical regarding some of these matters, you know, they're the weak brother. And then those who are understanding that we have liberties, then you have, that's a strong brother. That's just 180 degree different from the way that we normally think about it. So it's very important. Okay, the second contrast was between those who chose to eat meat and those who only chose to eat vegetables. You know, we have people today who are vegetarians. They do not like to eat any kind of meat. Some will eat only fish and only fried and one thing after another. But Paul said, I want to talk to you about this meat and vegetable issue. And I want to tell you how it's not an issue, and it's not an issue only when you make it an issue. And then what you're doing, you're going beyond that which is legislated by God. Okay. The third contrast he gives is esteeming one day above another and others who esteem every day just alike. Now listen, there are people that get all hyper today when someone chooses to esteem one day above another. It means more to them, and whatever the day is, they can go the 365 of them a year, okay? And out of 365 days, some days people have a special note, this is a very special day, and other people say, no, every one of them just like, sun rises in the east and sets in the west. All right, that's fine for them. Don't nitpick on them, and they should leave you alone too. That's what we're going to find in Scripture. I'm not going to make any of this up. It's all right here. We're going to take a look at it. So I invite your attention to Romans 14. We've given this a little preliminary that's going to help us just kind of move along in a smoother pattern as we get to each of these points. Again, we're going to spend more time right here in Romans 14. We're going to briefly mention a couple of these others, and then I'm going to spend a little time in the closing on 1 Corinthians chapter 10. By the way, do you remember what it does not apply to? Worship, doctrine, salvation, Christian living, that are specific points mentioned in Scripture, and church government. That's not framework of Christian liberties. Those that are these three things, are examples that Paul the Apostle gave. So let's begin. I'm going to start reading Romans 14. I'll make a few brief comments along the way, and we'll move right along. Him that is weak of the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputation. Those who are weak of the faith in this regard of Christian liberty, receive them. Do not put them at arm's length. Do not act like you're bigger and better than they are. Do not look down on them. No, receive ye, but not to any argumentation. Do not argue about these matters. Your version may even say it more clear than what the King James does in this passage, but it's a very solid point that we should be rising above confusion, strife, discord. Verse 2, for one person believes that he may eat all things, another who's weak eat his herbs. Now get a hold of verse 3. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. God hath received him. Now listen, take that to the bank. That's in the Word of God. That is in your Bible, whatever your translation, it is real clear. Leave the person alone who chooses to eat meat and vegetables, or the one who chooses to eat only vegetables. And as he's illustrating it right here, he said, let me tell you what, do not judge that individual. You know why? Because it's their liberty to do that. I've known of people who had a variety of eating plans. That is fine. Leave them alone. Don't pick on them. Don't cause trouble. Let me tell you what, when there's trouble over, you make sure that trouble didn't come from you. It is so amazing how people would judge someone else because of how they act. Paul said it right here, so clear. I cannot paraphrase it and make it more clear. When you look at verse 3, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Don't have an attitude toward that individual. And let him which eateth not, there wouldn't be more conservative. Let not him that eateth not judge him which eateth. God hath received him. God received both groups. It didn't matter to God. And guess what? It shouldn't matter to you either. Verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or he falleth. Yea, he should be holding up before God, and he's able to make them stand. He said, who in the world are you to be the judge? Who died and left you in charge of Christian liberties? Nobody. Dear friends, today, the verses here applying to Christian liberties, we need to have sunk down in our heart. We need to have them on our palm of our hand, and we know them, and we practice the details mentioned in Scripture. We don't make up anything. We don't need it anymore. The Scriptures made it very plain. It has a lot to say about it. All right, let's look at the next passage, verse 5. This is where the days come up, okay? One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Read that again. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. This right here is so very important. There's many days that the Jews honored and those other Gentiles, obviously they don't. And Paul is trying to bring together two groups of people, nationality, the Jews and the Gentiles, trying to bring them together. He did this in many writings in the book of Ephesians. He references Jew and Gentile again there and other places equal as well. Bring them together, unify them for peace and harmony. Well, this is what we find here. He let it be made known, if someone wants to esteem one day above another, that's okay. That's okay. If somebody wants to consider every day just alike, that's okay. That's what God has legislated here. He said the main thing for you to understand. Paul said, I want every man to be fully persuaded in his own mind. You don't do something, but he or she is my friend, and because they do it, I'm going to do it. No, no, no. You be fully persuaded that that's okay in your own mind. You never, and we're going to find this out here momentarily, you do not do things you're not absolutely confident in that's okay for you to do. And dear friends, today, these passages that esteem one day above another and every day just alike, the Bible says you just make sure that in your heart and in your mind, you're fully persuaded in your own mind. And I didn't make it up. It's right there in book, chapter, and verse, Romans 14, verse 5. Okay, verse 6. He that regardeth the day, this is very good logic here. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he does not regard it. He that eateth, he eateth to the Lord, but he giveth God thanks. He that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and he giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Whether we live or whether we live, we live to the Lord. Whether we die, we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Now listen, that is as clear as you can get. He said, when someone wants to esteem one day above another, they're doing it to the Lord. If you want to have every day just alike, you're doing it to the Lord. This is a liberty. God has not legislated on this specific matter. Therefore, you just make sure you're fully persuaded in your own mind and you're doing it to the Lord. It doesn't get any smoother and better than that. All I am doing today is pointing out some spots along the way that have at times been blown out of proportion, misapplied, and I want us to become masters at obeying these verses and the attitudes that they display. That is so huge. And what it said here, you saw it, you read it, and that was simply when people are dealing with liberties, let them have whatever it is that they want to do. If they want to mow the yard on Friday afternoon, guess what? No big deal. I know you want to do it on Thursday, but they want to do it on Friday. And it's okay. Do it on Thursday. They do it on Friday, and we just live happily ever after. It could be as simple as that. I just want everybody to get a hold of things spiritually of how to get along. It looks like congregation at times and individuals at times, they just find out a way to argue. And what's interesting is when they come to me or come to you, we're not going to argue because we're not going to talk about it. We're not going to do it. We're not going to take part in that. No. Now, when you want to talk about worship, doctrine, salvation, Christian living, church government, we'll talk about it all day long. But when it's a matter of the Christian liberties, we're going to leave it between them and the Lord. And that's where it should be. All right, let's continue on now. Verse 9. For to this end, Christ died and rose again and revived that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? What a question. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Verse 10. Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I want to pause here one brief moment. Now he's bringing in the judgment day. That's why this is very important. You don't want to stand before God in judgment, worshiping an error, believing false doctrine, not practicing salvation, not obeying the gospel, not doing the Christian living according to God's will and practicing church government. But in matter of the Christian liberties, that too will all stand for the judgment seat. Listen, we will answer to God for how we've handled Christian liberties. Get a hold of that. Do not lose that. It is important. This is not a lesson just giving people a license to sin at all. Because sin is transgression of the law. God has legislated on that. But what he did not legislate are forms of liberty. Then he went further about the day of judgment. Here's what he said to get a hold of this, please. In verse 11, for it is written, thy lips, saith the Lord, every knee will bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Dear friends, listen, you will and I will answer to God for how we handle these points that it does not apply to and how we handle Christian liberties. So it's not a take it or leave it. It's a matter of doing it right. Have the right attitude toward one another. Because, see, if you treat someone wrong, Paul said, who are you to judge anyway? Who are you to go making some laws? You know what? Get a hold of this. It's just as wrong to be a lawmaker as it is to be a lawbreaker. Just as wrong. We don't need to be either one of those. We need to be people who go to the attitude of Scripture and apply that to our life. Look at verse 13. Let us not Therefore, judge one another anymore. They've been doing it, but don't judge anyone anymore. And judge this rather. Here it comes. No man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, he makes it clear, don't judge anymore. You know what he meant? Don't judge anymore. That's what he meant. He meant what he said. He said what he meant. He's inspired of God. And dear friends, let's get a hold of this matter. This is the right way to do it. And when people are dealing with matters of liberties and they want to come in to your life and they want to dictate what you can and cannot do, you know, whatever door they came in, they can leave. You're not let your life be disturbed by someone enforcing their what they want to call man-made law or what they want to have some law matter. When it's a liberty, you have the right, God-given right, to do things God's way. Romans 14's been there a long, long time, longer than we've all been here, and we need to make sure we do that. I love verse 14. He said, I know and I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, there's nothing unclean of itself. Now, just stop there for a minute. Think about that. I know and I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing unclean of itself. Now, how broad can that get? There's nothing unclean of itself. And anything to be unclean to him, it is unclean. But if anyone exchanges anything to be unclean to him, it is. Now, if for whatever reason, and I'm just going to use this as an example, but you think it's wrong to drink caffeine in any shape, form, you don't want to have anything to do with caffeine, you know what? For you, it is wrong. But for me, it's not, because I don't have a conscience about it. I love Dr. Pepper. And it's got caffeine in it. That's okay for me to drink Dr. Pepper. It though has caffeine, but guess who can't? You. Because you, for whatever reason, you said, it's just not good. I don't want it. That's all right. And I'm not past judgment if you don't drink Dr. Pepper. The way I look at it, they just can last longer. You know, it's just okay. Let's relate to it, friends. The Bible is so clear, so emphatic about our attitude toward one another. And whatever the subject matter is, Paul gave three major contrasts here. But whatever it is in life, if it is a liberty, you do what you need to do, what you feel better about doing. You live according to your conscience, and you make sure you don't try to bind your will on other people. That's what the Bible teaches. The attitude must be obeyed. All right, let's look at 15 and continue on. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walketh there not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Wow, all of a sudden we're on a free ride, and then all of a sudden he applied the brakes. I'll tell you this, and get a hold of this matter. Liberties is more of a something that you have to hold back. It's liberty, at times, the proper use of Christian liberty is that it is more restrictive than it is liberating. You say, man, you done messed it up. I like the first 20 minutes, and now you're shutting me down. You're saying, well, now there's time that you can't do it. Well, that's true, but it's a liberty. If it was that which is legislated by God, worship, doctrine, salvation, specific Christian liberty, the church government, when that, there's no room to wiggle. But in matters of liberty, it's fine if I don't drink that Dr. Pepper. And you know what? The right attitude would have, and I'm just using that as a simple example, but you're in your presence, knowing that you don't want to drink caffeine, I don't mind a bit. When we're together, we drink bottled water or whatever. That's the way we need to do that. We need to make sure that we don't violate the disposition and attitude toward another. And I shouldn't sit around and drink a cup of coffee or Dr. Pepper while you are there just out of respect for you. And that's the way we need to be. You know, my grandfather, Brother E.H. Miller, and I don't know, I was young, so I don't know whether he thought it was wrong or just not best discretionary, but he didn't have a TV. But we did. We lived three houses down, and every now and then the doorbell would ring, and there's Granddad. And Dad said, listen, whenever Granddad shows up, TV goes off. And I thought, I asked him one time, I said, you mean right in the middle of Gilligan's Island? We got to turn it off? Man, that's awful. I hope he don't come during the Gilligan's Island, because that would be bad news. I wouldn't know how it ended. And I said, it goes off. It goes off without a word. And so the doorbell rings, they say, it's Granddad. Bang. TV had to go off. But you know what? When Granddad wasn't there, I could watch a whole episode of Gilligan's Island back when I was 7, 8, 9 years old. You know, dear friends, we've got to have and exemplify the right attitude regarding these matters. Because in the day of judgment, we're going to be judged by how well we did. All right, let's look further. In verse 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of. It's good to do a liberty, but don't let your good be evil spoken of by you pushing your liberty down somebody else's throat. Don't do that. Do not let your good be evil spoken of, and that's what happens. There are people that push and push and push, but they need to back off and just keep it to themselves. The first time I preached this sermon publicly, or at least one of the very first times, I entitled it, Keep Your Opinions to Yourself. And then I made copies of that sermon, and I sent a transcript of it, and I sent the sermon on audio to 10 preachers, 5 of whom I had a great relationship with, and 5 of whom I didn't know very well, but they were very strong in their will and their thinking, so I sent it to them too. And I got 8 of the 10 back, and every one of them had one thing in common. Change the title. It's too in your face. And they were right. They were really right. I did. I changed it to a generic, the proper use for Christian liberties. That was right. You know, here today, understanding when we have Christian liberties, let's make sure that we do it right, handle it right. Get a hold of these verses. And we're not, you're not going to get it in one lesson. You're going to get it through constant study and making sure that your conclusions are biblical in every way. And talk to brothers, talk to sisters, and work together to make sure. And ask people, if you see me out of line in any way regarding this, call me to point on that because I want to do it right. Okay, let's look on now. Began at verse 17, and I'm going to read a couple of verses here. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. I love verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. A congregation that practices Christian liberties according to the way it is described in Scripture will be one of the greatest congregations of peace within your individual life, within your spiritual family, in the church. Verse 20, for meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. Paul said, listen, I'm telling you myself, all things are pure. It doesn't really matter what you eat, what you drink regarding eating meat or eating vegetables. But then he did say, it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. In other words, if you think it's wrong to eat it and you eat it anyway, it's wrong. I think it's wrong to drink caffeine and I drink caffeine. It's wrong for me to drink caffeine. And I'm going to answer to God for it because I served and I did something contrary to my belief and to my heart. He's making this so clear. 21 through 23, it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, number one, or is offended, number two, or is made weak, number three. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself and that which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Get a hold of this. These three verses put the icing on the cake on the attitude that we should have. He let it be made known right now. If you've got faith, guess what? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he that does not condemn yourself and that which you allow. It's not wrong to say, drink the caffeine. However, if your brother or sister is with you, don't put it before them. Don't encourage them to drink it. Have no part in that. Have the right attitude. Verse 23 says, he that doubteth is damned if he eat. If you don't know, it's okay. Don't do it. He that doubteth is damned if he eat. If you don't know it's right or wrong to eat meat, and you eat meat, it's wrong for you. I don't have any doubt. It's fine to eat a quarter pounder. But if you think something's wrong or you're not absolutely positive it's right, don't do it, because that would be wrong. Then he said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatever you can't do with a total clear conscience is sin. That's what the Bible says. Okay, now I'm not going to be able. I wanted to go through Romans 14. That's a chapter that really brings everything to light in one chapter. I am not going to make comment at this time on Romans 15, 1 through 7. There's some really great things in 1 Corinthians 8 I want to talk about, but I probably won't. 1 Corinthians 9, 1 through 12, I'm not, but I am going to go to 1 Corinthians 10. So let's please go to 1 Corinthians 10, because this will really bring things to a head and a very important message. And if we can really get a hold of this, it will make a difference. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23, please listen to what Paul the Apostle said. All things are lawful. This is 1 Corinthians 10, 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are non-expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Tell you what we need to look at is not what we want, but what can we do that will facilitate peace and harmony with my brother and my sister. That's what matters. So therefore, liberties is restrictive. At times in your life, you need to hold back from exercising your liberties. Even though in verse 23 it said, all things are lawful, but all things are non-expedient. That is context. He's talking about Christian liberties. It's lawful to do it, but it may not be expedient. So make sure that if you're in a situation that you know that him or her have their choices that's different than yours, but you don't have any trouble yourself, you just be simply yield to their understanding and their conscience while you're in their presence. Now, when Paul said he would not eat meat nor drink wine for the rest of his life, no, he didn't say that. He said he was not going to offend a brother or a sister. That doesn't mean he was a vegetarian, because he said, I'm not going to eat meat. It was simply, I'm not going to eat meat around you that believes it's wrong. It's a disposition, it's a purity of heart. And we learn liberties is liberating in the degree that it opens up to you the options, and everybody doesn't have to be carbon copies of each other. But when a brother or sister is in your presence, then you back off and you do what you know that will not be offensive or cause somebody to stumble or cause somebody to fall. Those three descriptions are very vivid. In 1 Corinthians 10, now look at verse 25. This is interesting. I know all of it is, but this is really interesting. Whatsoever is sowed in the shambles that you eat. Get a hold of this now. Asking no question for conscience sake. Whatever is sold in the marketplace, they put a slab of meat in front of you and you're not one that believes it's wrong to eat meat, just eat it. Don't ask any questions. Eat it. Don't say, now I want to know where that come from and I want to know the historical background behind that slab of meat. He said, don't do that. But if they may have offered that meat to idols, he said, don't do it. Now, if they put that slab of meat in front of you and said, that was offered to idols this morning and you can have it this afternoon, you back away and say, nope, I'm not going to do that. Because later reading, you'll find out, because I don't want anybody to think that I believe in eating meat offered to idols. So I won't do it. But if they just put a piece of meat in front of you, don't even ask. Don't You don't have to have DNA on that piece of meat. You just go right ahead, eat that meat, and live happily ever after. See, these examples are so easy to relate to. It's just amazing to me. I'm going to conclude with one passage out of 1 Corinthians 8 on a backup. I wanted to grab 10 and 23 especially, but all of this is so good. Listen, I ask of you, please take the time at some time and start studying these passages and read them and really pray about them, because it's so important, because it will be brought in judgment. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 8. The Bible says, regarding liberties, but meat commendeth us not to God. Meat commendeth us not to God. For neither if we eat are we better, and neither if we eat not are we worse. It's not a big deal. If you eat, you're no better. If you don't eat, you're no worse. Just make sure that you do not do anything that causes your brother to become weak, to stumble, or to fall. And when you're alone, you and your family or your circumstances, and there's not an issue with anybody, you can have at it. But if someone is there visiting with you and they have a conscience about it, stay away from it. Now, I really do want you to really take heed to these five sets of verses here. This right here are the passages that address Christian liberties. There's more said about Christian liberties than about a lot of other topics that we are, you know, hard and fast on, and rightly so. If it's in there one time, it's enough. I understand. But let me tell you what, this are five times in detail. Oh, there's so much more we could talk about. But I ask of you to take your time and really look at this. Brother Alan Bonifay wrote the commentary on the book of Romans. He did an outstanding job in explaining the Roman passages here regarding liberties. And I encourage you to read the chapter, and his chapter, the nice and long. So they cover a lot of material, and he carefully words things, and we'll all learn a lot from reading and studying his. I have a number of my preacher buddies have begun to preach on Christian liberty in the last few years, and everybody, regardless of where they are considered a more of a conservative, more of a tolerant preacher, everybody preaches it the same. Everyone, I've got several recordings of it, because it's not hard to understand. As a matter of fact, it's hard to me for people to misunderstand it. It's hard to misunderstand what is so plain. So I encourage you to really get to know these verses. They'll make your life much more enjoyable, and you will enjoy being a Christian when you know these passages. If you're in our assembly and you're not ready to meet your Maker, would you please get right? Would you make sure? Because listen, you need to obey what is legislated by God regarding salvation. You've heard the word, believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess the beautiful name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. Be buried in baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for the remission of your sins. Christian friends, that's what's necessary for the Lord to add you to the church. If you've obeyed the gospel, but you've had spiritual challenges along the way, we ask you to repent of your sins, confess your faults. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Please come while we stand and while we sing.